From KTOL, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. Former Juneau area chiropractor Jeffrey Fultz was arraigned Wednesday after two more women accused him of assaulting them under the guise of medical treatment. KTOO's Yvonne Crumery has more.
Superior Court Judge Daniel Shally denied requests to keep Fultz in Alaska until the case is decided. Police arrested Fultz in 2021 on charges of sexual assault based on accusations that he had assaulted patients while he was a chiropractor for Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. More women came forward after his arrest. He now faces accusations from a total of 14 victims, with 18 felony sexual assault charges and one misdemeanor harassment charge. Fultz has been living in Colorado since 2021. And since 2021, some of Fultz's accusers have been asking for him to be returned to Alaska. A woman that the courts are identifying as CEL testified Wednesday. She said, quote, "It's about ensuring that not one more woman is harmed. His knowledge of systems and connections to power and resources has allowed him to continue to abuse women all over the nation." Shally said this was the first time he'd heard of any allegations towards Fultz in other places. But at a court hearing on July 12, 2021, then Assistant District Attorney Jesselyn Gillum said she saw the same pattern. And according to court documents, Fultz told Juneau police in 2021 that he'd been accused of improper touching at a previous job. Fultz worked in the Navajo Nation in New Mexico and Arizona from 1999 to 2013. At the request of the state prosecutor, Bailey Wolfstead, Shally did order that Fultz be monitored through the Alaska Pretrial Enforcement Division. That agency will be in contact with law enforcement in Colorado to make sure he isn't practicing medicine. Conditions Shally placed on Fultz in 2021 required that he not practice medicine or contact any of his accusers. He was also told to turn over his passport and continue living at his Durango home. Fultz's next readiness hearing is on April 12th. Last week, Gillum told KTOO that the number of witnesses in the case and other complicating factors mean that the trial date will likely be set far in the future. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
Indian Health Services has a hotline for callers to report suspected child abuse or sexual abuse by calling 1-855-SAFE-IHS or submitting a complaint online. Locally, people can call AWARE in Juneau at 907-586-1090. Bethel is preparing for its first full Chamay Festival in 3 years. Dance groups from all over the state and a few visitors from outside are headed to the community for a three-day celebration. KYUK's Francisco Martinez-Cuello stopped by a rehearsal and has this story.
A couple of days before Chamay, people gathered inside the ONC multipurpose room. The building used to be an old bowling alley. Long gone are the bowling balls and gutters, but the wood floors are still there. To the left, where the lanes used to be, there's a stage where five male drummers sit at its edge. At the center is the lead drummer.
My name is Benjamin Agimuk. The name of the group is Kazirigamit. So what we use is called
a drum. Drums are hoops with a few grooves where they stretch a nylon-type fabric.
You know, just kind of get them as tight as possible, but try to have it at the right tune level. Other drums, that, as you've seen, where they spray water on it, that's walrus stomach, which was traditionally used back then before the fabric came along.
They start another song. It's a slow build. The drum strikes crescendo and undulate. All five drummers beat. The room breathes. The dancers are split by gender. There are nearly 10 boys, from toddlers to teenagers. They face the drummers. And behind them, about 25 more young girls to mature women. Elders are sitting nearby. Rhythm fills the space. The people dance. Each movement is precise. They are in unison, driven by the strike.
We have approximately 8 drummers, possibly more. Not everyone's here, but we try to use as many drummers as possible.
As the dancers' feathers float like waves, or more appropriately, like the northern lights on clear nights at Tundra Ridge, the senses can only take so many pulses, so they take another break. The group was created in 2019 with the intention of attracting youth to learn traditional dances passed down from generations.
The elders used to be very strict with who can drum, who can dance, who can sing. If you didn't dance, you know, with meaning, like stretching your arms out, moving your body, moving your neck, you were not permitted to dance, you know. And if you were a drummer and you were off tune or off beat, you were not permitted to drum. And that's kind of was I was trying to, you know, let out, you know, implement, you know, let the dancers really express themselves.
Bodies sway like trees, sometimes slow like a calm spring breeze. Sometimes they shake like trees during an early fall storm. They stop moving when the drums stop beating. This is a glimpse of Chamai.
You'll see groups from around the state. So you'll see different kinds of dancing. Each of them are unique. All the groups are unique in their own way. You're not going to be bored. You're not going to be bored, I'll tell you that.
Heads bob like birds. Voices reverberate. They all know these verses well, passed from the creator to the elders and now to youth. On stage, all the elders sway in rhythmic syncopation. Some sing, some dance if they're physically able to. Most bob, but they all move until they are satisfied, and only then will the rehearsal stop. In Bethel, I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello.
Basketball goes from the courts to the stage in the Perseverance Theater play The Great Leap. It's being performed in partnership with the University of Alaska Anchorage. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride shows us, it's a story that's a fast-paced mixture of both basketball and politics.
The Great Leap is about a friendship basketball game in China and a reunion between an American and Chinese coach who met almost two decades earlier when the game was first introduced to China. The coaches are friends, but friends who constantly disagree.
18 years. That's how long you got. You start at 18, and you're lucky if you hit 36 and you can still run down the court without blowing your knees out. And you want to know why?
Because you Americans are always running. You can never wait your turn.
It is always your turn.
The story is set in June of 1989, amid the backdrop of student protests against the Chinese government. The name of the play, The Great Leap, has a double meaning. A metaphor for the game of basketball, yet also taken from a failed communist campaign to industrialize the country called The Great Leap Forward.
This play's been produced in the lower 48 a number of times now. I think I might be one of the first or only directors that comes from having played the game.
Leslie Ishii is Perseverance Theater's artistic director. She says The Great Leap definitely has a way of bringing some March Madness to the stage.
The part that I love about this play is the dialogue in the play is actually like the scrimmage. The metaphor of basketball is all throughout the psychology of the game, with this fast banter and dialogue. And while we don't feature an actual game itself, we're working on putting a little basketball in there, a little finesse in there.
I will win you games. I will score you points. I will make you layups. I will shoot from half court, full court. I will shoot over whatever, whenever, whoever is getting in my way.
Manford, a young hotshot basketball player from the streets of Chinatown, is one of the main characters in the play. The only problem is he's a little short for a basketball player.
I am quick. I am relentless. I am the most relentless person you have ever met. And if you have met someone more relentless than me, tell me, and I will meet them, and I will find a way to become even more relentless than them.
Manford's fast-talking bid to make the team does get him to China, but when he gets caught up in the student protests, he jeopardizes his spot on the team. Ishii says the play goes from being a dark comedy to a serious drama.
So it's an interesting time to do this play when we've had so many conversations about our democracy, right? And again, basketball's a dear, beloved sport in Alaska.
Ultimately, Ishii hopes the play will make you think as it explores the tensions between two cultures. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.